Okay, here we go. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. If you want to be on the program, 1-800-222-5222. That's 1-800-222-5222. All right. So, it's St. Patrick's Day. That means everything turns green. I don't know if you had any interference from some rascally leprechauns. I know we did at the house. Kids woke up to apparently the leprechaun went and peed in every one of the toilets, turning them green. I don't know if that happens at your house, but it did at mine. And I just pointed out to my kids this morning that apparently the leprechaun has the exact same flushing habits as they do. Because if you've got kids, you know the worst thing is everything's great. You're about to go to use your bathroom, your toilet, and they've left you something. And that's what kids, they don't learn. Or is it just my kids? Is that it? I don't think so. I've talked to other parents. I think it's other people. In fact, it's a little bit like what they do in Washington where they, well, we're going to get to it. They use the toilet and they don't flush. And what's happening right now is Trump's coming along and he's flushing all the toilets. I think metaphorically it works. I think it does. Well, I'll give you the example. This budget. Now, everybody is out there literally having a cow. And even some of the vegetarians are having one. And it's because, I'll tell you. This is what the state of our political affairs has come to. These folks, many, if not all on the left, and even a few on the so-called on the right, Republicans and Democrats, when it comes to political policy, it's not about reason. It's not about what makes sense, what is logical. What is going to, you know, practically benefit the country? What is measurable? It's all about emotion. And so that is why you have this reaction to the Trump budget that is just out of this world. I'll take you through it today and then I'll explain. I got to tell you what is actually going on and what Trump is doing. And it all comes down to this. No, the left, the media, everybody that is supposedly, you know, big in figuring out what's going on, they have no clue how to read Trump. They don't speak Trump yet. They're too busy, as I've always said, they're too busy putting him down, calling him an idiot, creating a caricature of who he is. And in so doing, fail to grasp that there is actually some brilliant strategery behind all of this. And I'm going to I'll explain exactly what it is, take you through it. You'll know everything. But today you're going to want to stay tuned for the whole show because I really want to lay this out for you piece by piece. Now, you know this emotion argument. You've got this thing down pat because you talk to people. And you may, well, you live in L.A., so you know, presumably if you have more than two friends, at least one of them is liberal. And in so doing, you're going to have these conversations with people that end up being completely circuitous because it all comes back to their feelings. And I have the best illustration of this. I'm barely journalism. But it is pure comedic gold. Here we go. The Huffington Post. Two geniuses by the name of Zach Carter and Arthur Delaney wrote this article titled. Now note the title because that is where this starts to get so good. Oh my gosh, I'm loving this. Ready? A budget is a moral document. The one Trump produced is dark. So listen, now look here. Have you ever written a budget? See, last I checked, I thought a budget was where money goes in, money comes out, and the objective is that you're in the black at the end of it. your deductions, in other words, the minus, right? The subtractions are less than the additions. So you have, you know, something called money left over at the end. Your budget also requires that you make payments on time. Can you imagine telling your bank, yeah, you know, I'm not going to make the full payment this month because, you know, my budget is a moral document. This is what it is. And it's, and I'll show you, I got some great clips lined up because there's a, it's on the, it's Republicans and Democrats and this nonsense. The Republicans gave up the ghost on this with George H.W. Bush and his 1,000 points of life or whatever the hell that was and his compassionate conservative, right? And George W. Bush, his son, carried it through later, ran as a compassionate conservative. And I'll tell you what's behind it. Republicans have, for years and years and years, been abdicating their position as leaders, as visionaries of conservative ideology. Things like, oh, maybe a balanced budget is a good idea. Maybe spending a ton of money on ridiculous welfare programs, some $10 trillion since LBJ, you know, created the modern welfare state. Is it working? Has anyone looked at it? Hey, it's not working. Maybe these entitlements aren't what we need. Maybe these are problems that are best solved at the state level. Maybe people that are in a county know best how to deal with their homeless problem. Maybe that's something that we, anyway, all of this stuff, examples of where the state has come in, been compassionate because conservatives, okay, I'm not going to say conservatives, Republicans, and of course Democrats think that it sells. They think that this is what they need to do to get elected because they've bought into the paradigm of the media. They've bought into the very paradigm of this moron, Zach Carter and Arthur Delaney, Kokomo and Jokomo, who think that a budget is a moral document. The article reads, a presidential budget isn't so much a policy proposal as a statement of an administration's moral vision for the country. Okay, moral vision for the country. We're bankrupt. We are losing our shirts. We have more money going out than we have going in. If you and I tried that, it wouldn't work. Every month we borrow more money than imaginable. But the point is that nobody has been willing to tackle this problem. No Republican has come along. I mean, you get an occasional, who do you get? You get the libertarians and they're dismissed as crackpots. You know, you get the Rand Pauls of the world who come along and say, we got to make some changes. And so Trump, here's what he did. He said, look. And I love this, by the way. I'm going to source this straight from the Huffington Post. The message is clear in the budget's top line proposals. Trump calls for a $54 billion boost in defense spending and immigration enforcement. Now, this number, by the way, I love that the Huffington Post did this because it's like an all inclusive number. This is like when you go to the all you can eat buffet, because the $54 billion actually doesn't just buy you fighter jets and buy us, you know, enhancements to the military. But actually, it looks like they've thrown in that figure. What? Immigrations and customs enforcement officers. That's good. And also, oh, yeah, the border wall. That's included in that number. So $54 billion in for military and border spending. And this is exactly, by the way, what Trump promised to do. People are shocked. I mean, this is you keep getting shocked every time Trump actually fulfills one of his promises. So anyway, this is it. Promises to do that. And then this thing just goes on and on and on, bemoaning all the programs that are being spent. And the way that they cover all of this, again, they go back to Republicans and saying Republicans have long, for years, they've supported programs like AmeriCorps and programs to help social welfare. And they're bemoaning the fact that Trump isn't even hiding, that he's not even making a compassionate argument, and nor should he. This is exactly what we wanted. This finally, all the people, look, all you never Trumpers, all you, you know, so-called conservatives. No, conservatives, I get it. I know you. I know some of you. You got it. You have a clear vision of this, but you've been opposed to him. You've wanted to call him a state. This is exactly the type of budget that we've always wanted. Because we don't see the government's hand in everything that we want to do. We don't see the government as the answer to our problems. It's not the solution. It gets in the way. Now, I came to the office today, and first thing somebody starts, you know, everybody knows that, you know, I'm the office conservative and the Trumpist, and I get mocked. So I guess somebody came up to me and goes, oh, he's, you know, talking about the budget and something about the kids that are, you know, Trump's looking out for the children. But and my response to it is this. What do the working poor want? What's good in our you know why he got elected, right? He got elected by people that are barely scraping by, but they're working. The biggest lie that I've seen about the Trump budget, by the way, was a piece in the Washington Post that said that Trump is actually screwing the very people that voted for him. It's so wrong. It's absolutely patently untrue. What Trump is doing, the people that voted for him are the working poor. The people that are working 2-3 jobs, barely scraping by, watching a permanent welfare state creep over, take over their towns, and they don't want welfare. Hey, all you elitist liberals, we don't want welfare. We want a job. And that is, and the, where do jobs come from? Well, listen, if you're in Washington, D.C., they come from all these agencies and all these, you know, all these, those are the ones that are screaming right now. In one Washington Post article, they've got an unnamed guy who works over at HUD, and he says everybody's depressed. This budget came out and they're depressed. Well, yeah, they're depressed. They're about to get canned. Agencies are getting cut between 5, 10, 20, even some as high as 30%. But the people that the working poor people that are the people that voted for Trump, these are people that want jobs, and they recognize that those jobs come from where? They come from the private sector. It's only in liberal la-la land that the jobs come from the government, where the government hands everything out. The government solves all the problems. And instead, here, finally, somebody's looking at it going, look, what's the role of the federal government? To protect us, to secure the border. Highways, infrastructure, that's the role of the federal government. It's not to get into meddle into every little eensy-weensy, you know, Meals on Wheels program and Big Bird and I don't know what else. I'm sorry, Big Bird, and I'm really sorry. It is absurd that tax money is going to fund Garrison Keillor on NPR. I like Garrison Keillor, but, these are programs that would never be commercially viable, and liberals celebrate that. They say, oh, but that's good. We got to support it. Why do you want to support something that would be never commercially viable? Because it's about emotion. It's about what feels good. And every time we have run this country using our emotions, using what feels good, we have made so many mistakes. Speaking of LBJ, you know, founder of the modern welfare state, you know what he said once? He said in a speech, he said that... That the days of the dole are numbered. Giving a speech on welfare. The days of the dole are numbered. Well, it's pointed out by Stephen Doyle in a piece. Where was this? In the American Spectator, I think, wrote a piece where he said that 15,000 days later, we've spent $10 trillion at the federal level on welfare. And what has it given us? You could say, in fact, that it has given us Donald Trump, because we, our economy, these people that voted for him wanted change. They wanted something radically different. And why is that, Democrats and you wobbly Republicans? Because the way you did things put those people into an unimaginable place economically. You took proud people. Many of them who voted Democrat, who were labor workers, but they're proud people. All they want is a job. And finally, finally, the chickens have come home to roost because the end result of the economy that you've created with your this feels good. It feels good. Well, you know what? It has to make sense. And a budget, folks, a budget is not a moral document. It's a mathematical document. And the math has to add up. All right. We come back. I've got some great clips that illustrate this, and I want to... You're gonna actually laugh at some of the nonsensical things that are coming out of these politicians' mouth. Congress, what a bunch of dimwits. All right, back after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. Evolve. 790 KABC.
All right, Sam Rogowski here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. And talking about the mean-spirited, horrible Trump budget proposal that everybody's talking about. Now, of course, that is what it's being called by everybody in the news. Certainly the Democrats are all having that reaction, and then even some Republicans. I'll share a few of those examples with you in a minute. But here is, by the way, let's listen in her reaction. This is Nancy Pelosi, right, a House Minority Leader, and she is reacting here to news that the Department of Education is going through a series of cuts. Now, I told you this budget's good, and I'm looking at the Department of Education cutting. There's some state grant program that's $2.4 billion. There's another community learning center program, $1.2 billion. Federal supplemental education. I mean, just, I don't know what these, look, it adds up. They start to add up. It starts to be a lot of money. And when it comes to education, one thing I know is look at LA Unified. I mean, just because you're spending more money per student than anywhere around, I mean, you know this, the amount of money spent per student at LA Unified is unbelievable. And in my kids' district, by the way, in Irvine, we have, I realize this is Orange County, but bear me out, the way the formulas work actually with funding in the state is some of these wealthier districts get actually less money. Well, guess which one has better education? I want to let you in a giant secret, but it's not LA Unified. It has nothing to do with the dollars. And where do most of these dollars go, by the way? Does it go to the kids? Or does it go to the nameless, faceless hack bureaucrats that manage this program, that take care of it, that nurture it? And of course they're squealing. And this is why. I'm setting this all up so you understand how vile it is to me when I'm listening to this politician, Nancy Pelosi, try to make it about the kids when it's really all about her base of support, all those unionized teachers, bureaucrats, people in this permanent bureaucracy in the deep state that are mooching off of what is federal education money. Listen to what she has to say. This is, and by the way, if it sounds, well, anyway, listen to it and we'll be right back.
Nothing brings more money to the Treasury than investment in education. So when the Republicans say we need to reduce the deficit because, and so therefore we must cut education, that is a stupid economy, because it would, again, nothing brings more money to the Treasury to reduce the deficit than the education of the American people. Right. And recognizing that our mission is about the future, it's about the future, and that future demands that we invest in education and health, the health and well-being of the American people and our families, for our children, our children, our children. But this budget is really a slap in the face of the future.
Yeah, one giant pimp slap. Let me tell you something about money spent on education and students and how what investing, something about it being a great investment into the Treasury. I get the argument. The argument is that, you know, you educate kids, kids grow up, they become professionals, and they earn a living and they pay taxes, and so the money gets put back into the Treasury. The only Well, the only problem with that is, and that's the argument, by the way, with student loans too. You know, if we just really put out a whole lot of political science degrees. And put all these kids, you know, all these students out there with poli-sci and liberal arts and all that, and put them out there with 100,000 plus in student loans. I mean, that's an investment in our future. But you know, the funny thing is I wonder if you did this is what's done frequently. The most successful students in the most successful areas come out of schools that are the most poorly funded. And do you know why that is? It's because in those areas that are tend to be more poorly funded, it has nothing to do with the school. It has everything to do with the family, with the parents. And speaking of slap in the face, usually with families where the parents are there, care about their kids, and give their kids an occasional splat on the, you know, smack on the, you know what, to get them to be motivated, to be productive, and to be ambitious. It's not just about dollars spent in education. All right, more when we come back. Dave Alpert up with the news next. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Welcome back, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC. We're here, where it's Friday, it's St. Patrick's Day. I hope you're all being safe out there and Ubering if you're planning on drinking green Guinness. All right, talking about this Trump proposed budget, and I promised I would explain to you what he's doing here. I want to explain the tactics of what's going on. Because policy is one thing, but there's always strategery to this. And I'll get into that in a minute. And to, you know, I have a, let's do that. I got a caller. Linda, do we have Linda in Burbank? Linda, are you there?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Linda. How's it going? Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. I was calling, you know, regarding, you know, HUD and the cuts they want to make on HUD. That the main problem
you're talking
with
about
HUD,
the Department of Housing and Urban Development, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, the main problem with it is back during the first Bush administration, Jack Kemp allowed illegal aliens on Section 8, and when it was the latter part of the Clinton administration after the Republicans took over, the way they handled it, they made landlords, you know, opt out of it if they wanted to, meaning that would include any American that was on Section 8. You know, lump everybody all together.
So, Linda, I'm going to tell you, and I really appreciate your call. Thank you for calling, because so this is illustrating a point I want to make. And the issue here is, you know, if you're a conservative, you're voting for a Republican, the Republican gets into office, and when they start to give away stuff, it offends you, right? I mean, it's not what you wanted. It's not what you voted for. The thing is, there's two things at play here, and it ties exactly into what Trump is doing and why there's so much antipathy toward it. Number one, everybody wants to be Santa Claus. It's a great feeling. There's a euphoric high that comes from giving people stuff. And when you're a politician and you want to get reelected, the way you do it is you give stuff away, period. And especially when you're giving stuff away that is not being paid with your own money. It's a great thing. Now, you and I, Linda, you and I do not have this. We do not have this, liberty of giving away other people's money, presumably. So when we do something nice for somebody, it's our own cash, you know, that's on the line. But when you're in politics, you get to give away our money. And politicians love to do it. But the bigger point is, and this explains why nobody before Trump has ever proposed a budget like this and why there's so much a crazy reaction to it, that once someone else has played Santa Claus and they've had their fun with it, do you know how hard it is to take that away? And that's why I'm really glad that you said what you said, because nobody has had the balls to come along and take it away or to say they're going to take it away. And this is why Trump is the great disruptor. And I want to explain what this budget is, because remember when I talked to you about that Huffington piece talking about the budget being a moral document? Well, buried on page 3 is this line. Trump's budget will almost assuredly never make it into law. Yeah, no crap. Here's what Trump's budget is. It is an opening to a negotiation. Look, if you want to negotiate, like, for example, if you hire Sweet James, you know, you want to negotiate. You don't want him. If what you want is 10 grand, do you want him to go in and ask for 10 grand? No, the guy's going to go in and he's going to negotiate for 20, 25, 30. He's going to ask for a lot of money. Because that's what a good negotiator does. And so Trump has gone into this thing. And he's asking for a lot. He's asking to, he wants to redline the whole thing. And he's killing every single giveaway Santa Claus, holy cow, of that has ever been given. And he's just redlining it all. But it's an opening to a negotiation. And I'll explain more of what this means when I come back right after this. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
Republicans enjoy playing Santa Claus just as much as Democrats do. It's not a partisan. It's not, being human is not a partisan issue. Okay. It's all part of our disposition. This is my point. And this is how we have gotten ourselves into a catastrophic hole. And it's also bad policy. And now I'll tell you, the way you get yourself out of it is you've got to have a politician that comes along who doesn't care what people think of him. Oh, wait, I wonder who's that? Who's that guy? Yeah. So will Donald Trump please stand up? Because I'll get, you want to know, here's an example, by the way, of what a Republican sounds like that doesn't want to hurt anyone's feelings. This is a guy, who is this guy? Chris Collins, he's a congressman from New York, Republican congressman. And he goes on Van Jones on CNN and says this idiot, just listen to this.
I'm not going to try to justify it because that's not my plan. What you have right now
talking
is
about
a top
the budget.
Line a blueprint from President Trump and his supporters or his advisors. It's not the congressional budget.
So you disagree with
I do disagree
with knocking
with
out meals on. Give him a round of applause because I'm glad some Republican.
Oh, Republicans who will support Meals on Wheels. This is so great.
Economic policy.
Meals on Wheels is a wonderful program.
Wonderful program.
It is one I would never vote to cut even $1.
Yeah, that's great. You know what, pal? I love that you would never vote to cut a dollar of any, you know, entitlement program with my money. That's great. You know what you ought to do? And this is what always mystifies me. I wonder how much money these clowns give to charity. In fact, we ought to do a study, and I'm sure it's been but the study ought to be how much the politicians that give away the most amount of tax dollars to good causes and, you know, that kind of thing versus how charitable they are. Because, the Pew Foundation did a study on this some years back and discovered that Democrats are far less charitable as a group than Republicans. Because the answer, of course, is that Democrats love to give away your money. My money, just not their own money, you know? I mean, that's not good. And this clip here, did you hear how he goes, this Republican goes on Van Jones, goes on CNN to explain to them that he is a compassionate guy. He would never cut a dollar from Meals on Wheels, which only gets, by the way, something like 10 to 15% of its budget from the federal government. So program's going to go on just fine. But here's the point. Trump doesn't care. Trump doesn't need to go on any news program and have his ego stroked. He doesn't need to. For all the accusations in the media that he's nothing more than a vainglorious, you know, fame hound, and that he needs approval, and that he's a child, and that he's emotionally unstable, to me, when it comes to this budget, he's the only adult in the room. Think about that. And I got to tell you, budgets are not, this is not how it's going to turn out. He is going in strong, and he's willing to take the flack. This is why I'm calling him a grown-up. He's willing to take the flack. In the last segment, I was telling you about Sweet James in a negotiation, right? If you hire a lawyer, it's like this. He's going to have to argue with, Trump is arguing with Congress to get this thing done. You hire a lawyer, you get into an accident, you need, you deserve a $15,000, $100,000 settlement, whatever it is that your injury calls for. A good lawyer is going to go in and negotiate and start high. He's going to ask for everything in the kitchen sink. And then you go back and forth, and the end result is what's fair. And this is what it's like, by the way, talking about Sweet James, this is what it's like with insurance companies. If you let an insurance company, if you just talk to the insurance company is going to pull all the way to like next to zero, and you're going to ask for shekels, and you're not going to get anything close to what's fair. And that's why you need to hire a lawyer. You got to get a good lawyer like Sweet James, who's going to go in there, you know, and ask for an arm and a leg, and then what you get is what's fair. You see, you're not asking, it's not about getting what's not fair, it's about getting what's fair. You got to call Sweet James. What's his number? 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. He's the lawyer we trust here on the program, James Bergner. You can reach him also at sweetjames.com. Yay! Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.
I'll tell you how crazy some of these libs are. So there's a gal, Caitlin Dewey, writing in the Washington Post. And you know, you know what the premise of her piece is? That immigrants, illegal immigrants, are going hungry so Trump won't deport them. That's really what her piece is about. She's saying it's a bad thing. These illegal immigrants that are breaking, I don't know, numerous federal laws in obtaining SNAP benefits, other welfare benefits, and have been doing so for years, are finally going, hey, I don't want to show up at the welfare office because I'm worried that that's where ICE is going to catch me and stick me in a van and send me away. And she's lamenting this as a problem. So this is an illustration of where, see, we just play Santa for so long. And where you draw the line? You know what the statistics are? In 2002, SNAP usage among non-citizens and their children went up from 1.2 million. You know where it is now? This is a number of people that are non-citizens that are using SNAP benefits, right? 1.2 million in 2002. By 2015, it was up to 3.9 million. That's a big problem. You add up all those benefits across all those people. The Government Accountability Office. They looked at it and they said it's about $150 billion a year in federal welfare fraud. That's billion with a B. So when we start to plug, I just want to explain the numbers. When you want to plug $1 trillion holes in our budget, isn't $150 billion like, isn't that a real number? If you've got to come up with $1,000, isn't $150 like a step in the right direction? It is. And that's why these changes are incremental. And I don't know, by the way, you know, Planned Parenthood also getting a little cut, right, announced, and everybody's up in arms about it. But it's interesting. I mean, when it comes to abortion, I mean, every liberal loves abortion, right? I mean, it's all good. But this is why I got to explain this. I got to use liberal speak. And this is when you talk to your friends this weekend and they're arguing about the Trump budget. You got to use language that they're going to understand. This is, think of this like a, this is like a, these are little budgetary abortions. They're just taking a little government agency. It wasn't viable, you know. We're just pro-choice. That's what it is. It's time to make some changes. So I think, you know, I'm just giving you tools. That's what this program's about. I want to give you some options. And if you can talk to your liberal friends and educate them a little bit, you know, maybe this is one thing that might work. All right. Have a great weekend. We're off on Monday, but back behind the Sam Nation microphone Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. I'll see you then. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Can't stop addicted to the shindig.
Talk Radio, 790
KABC.